Salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, no, I'm not crying. I'm battling the mother of all chest colds here this morning. And I put on the miracle cure. I don't know if you guys have ever used it or not. Unkers. You guys know what Unkers is out there? Unkers is the miracle cure. So I rub some Unkers around my throat and around my eyes and stuff that before I came down here. It looked like I'm crying, but I'm just, my eyes are watering. My eyes are burning from it. So thanks for joining us. I feel better today than yesterday. Man. Anyway, you guys aren't interested in, not interested in my head cold. Crazy things going on. I don't know if you saw today, President Trump ordered the release of all that underground Russiagate stuff. Now, is that going to come out, really? Are we going to really, really hear, see what happened? And when it does happen, I credit my buddy Randy for being the one opening up the threshold over at Hillary's when we were out there. And there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. If something doesn't happen, we now know without really any, there's not even any doubt anymore, folks. It really isn't. That the Obama administration was behind the whole Russiagate thing, that President Obama and his cabal tried to overthrow a sitting president of the United States. It's treason.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, man. Word. Let's not get blocked down by the black and white thing. It's a distraction. It's a distraction, people.
Everything's a distraction, Vinny. The truth is they tried to overthrow the sitting president of the United States, the Obama administration. For those of you who don't know, yesterday they released some information that they had from the my brain's a little bit behind my cold today. Some top secret, well, wasn't top secret, but information released with John Brennan. Handwritten notes of John Brennan had presented that Hillary Clinton was behind the Russia hoax. It was her plan. And that that John Brennan briefed the president of the United States to the plan that Hillary had hatched. So we now know that Barack Obama knew. Now, we all know he did. We all knew it, right? We all knew it. And that the last 3.5 years or however long it's been of the Russia investigation, all the stuff going on, has been nothing more than deep state led by the Obama administration doing everything it can to prevent President Trump from being president. So, folks, that's what it's been. We've all known that, right? We've all suspected it. But now we have to ask ourselves what's going to happen. And do you guys know, does anybody know, what's the punishment for treason? Does anybody out there know? Mike, I wonder if you could look that up there, Mike.
I recall it being hanging, Coach.
What's the punishment for treason? And if they're going to get me for speeding, they're going to give me a ticket for whatever, and they're going to get somebody for tax evasion.
Hanging.
Shouldn't we enforce treason? Shouldn't we? Mike, I don't know if you're able to look that up. I know what it is. You don't have to. But a lot of times you guys feel better when you see proof of it. Punishment for treason is hanging. Hanging. Is that radical to talk about that, Jack? Is that radical to talk about it? Benedict Arnold? Do you understand really what happened? Do you understand what happened? How much money was wasted on a fake Russia investigation concocted by Hillary Clinton with the knowledge of the President of the United States, Barack Obama. You understand?
Coach, not to mention all the lives that were wasted. Traitors hang.
Yep. And all the people that are involved with it, the deep state, craziness.
How about going to Jefferson? In the cause of freedom, there's no such thing as extremism.
That's right. In the defense of liberty, right? No such thing as extremism, the defense of liberty. Hey, we got Holly Baglio with us today. Before I bring Holly in, I want to start you with some good news. Hey, Mike, pull up Bevelin. You guys all know who Bevelin is, right? Bevelin Beatty. Sweetheart goes out and paints over Black Lives Matter and all that kind of stuff. Well, Bevelin released a little video yesterday, and I'm thinking, man, oh, man, do we ever need this kind of spunk? Where is this kind of spunk? And so I posted this on my Facebook page, and Bevelin, here's what's happened. Bevelin is, they got a ticket for trespassing or something stupid like that. Well, Lori Lightfoot, the president or the mayor of Chicago, is trying to make more out of it than is there, and Bevelin fights back. So let's listen to a few minutes of Bevelin here. I love this spunk. We all need more of this attitude. Go ahead, Mike.
Now listen, let me tell y'all about what just happened, because we just got out of court, you guys. We're on our way to eat. We just got out of court because, remember, we had stood in front of Lori Lightfoot's house and we had basically protested against her, just for what she was doing with the police, pushing to defund the police, but yet keeping private detail at her house. So we had got locked up for that. I think when we get locked up for that?
About a month ago.
So we had just flown into Chicago today to go to court. So let me tell y'all what this witch did, because she's a witch. Let me tell you what she did. She charged all of us with protesting in a resident area as a state charge, misdemeanor class B. We could possibly spend up to 180 days in jail, right? And then, but for me, she charged me with two charges. She charged me with that charge, and she charged me for having amplified sound. So I got two charges. Mind you, I did not even have amplified sound, but I'll prove that with the video. But basically, this is why we tripping out. Because there has been reports of people, one man shot somebody with an AK-47 three times. He was released the next day, didn't need a lawyer. And most of the people that were looting and rioting for the sake of Black Lives Matter and stealing from Foot Locker and Nike stores and destroying businesses were getting out left and right, didn't need a lawyer. But basically, Lori Lightfoot is getting her lawyer utilizing the district attorney, and she's lawyering up against us. So, I don't know. I knew she was going to pull a stunt like that. I expected her to, because basically, from what we've seen, we pissed her off. Did we not, you guys?
Yes, it worked.
She's mad. She's big mad. She ain't little mad. Susan, tell him your reaction when you heard that. Susan, tell him.
I want to tell him my reaction.
Susan was hotter than fish grease.
I was hot.
So she was trying to play us.
I said, I thought it was just a ticket.
Yeah.
And they're talking about trial. I was like, what?
You need a lawyer.
Where's your lawyer? This, that, and the third.
She's getting a lawyer.
She's getting a lawyer. Yeah. She's getting counsel. She want to come and try to touch God's anointed. So let me tell y'all what's going to happen. We're going to get a lawyer for everybody, because there's six of us co-defending with each other. We're going to get us a nice, short, stubby, fat, Jewish Christian lawyer. Okay? He got to be short, stubby, fat, Jewish, and Christian,
and
with hair missing. He cannot have all his hair. He gotta have a missing patch, because homie gonna give it to her like she ain't never had it before. Okay? That's how you win.
No.
Alright? If you want to win, get you a short, fat, stubby, Jewish, Christian lawyer. You will win every single time.
Boy.
You can murder kids. You get you a Jewish lawyer, you gonna get off. You might get 2 years with a Jewish lawyer. Don't play no games. He's gonna have to stay where he got. So let me tell you something right now. This is what we gonna do. We gonna lawyer up. Okay? And after we lawyer up, we hitting her. We're gonna get her. And I'm pretty sure she's watching me, and I'm pretty sure she's gonna see this video. And anybody connected with Chicago, share it. Share it. I want her to see this video. Let me tell you something, you reprobate-minded, disgusting, homosexual demon. You're nasty. You lay in a bed with the same sex.
Hey, hey.
Yet you try to make laws of righteousness. You are vile.
Oof.
You're disgusting.
Oof.
You're wicked.
Oh.
And I know when you see this, you're going to get mad. And maybe the rest of your hairline will recede back even more than what it's already done. All right? The only thing that could revive you is Christ Jesus, because you're ugly from the inside out. But seeing as you refuse to accept him as your Lord and Savior, and you want to come and try to touch God's anointing once, get ready, because I got my eyes on you. The Lord got his eyes on you. So I want you to hit us with your best shot, you nasty devil. Try your best. You could never beat God. You could never stop God's anointing from moving. And you're vile. You're vile. You don't follow laws. You try to do your own thing. You don't stand in justice, righteousness, or truth. You're disgusting. And you're going to see me. So you go ahead and get your best little lawyers you can get, and you try your best. You're going to see me. And I promise you that. You ain't going to touch the Lord's people. You want to let him know something?
One piece of advice.
Okay, you can get that off, Mike.
One piece of advice.
That's just not very Christian of Bevelin, is it? See, Bevelin's supposed to be praying for her salvation. And no. Bevelin said this is a demon. This is a demon that hates Christ and hates everything Christian. And Bevelin has drawn her sword, and she's going to go to war. Now, does that encourage anybody but me? God bless you, Bevelin.
Yeah, Coach, after hearing that, I mean, halfway through that, I was feeling myself. I was wanting to step into the arena.
Yes, sir, Bobby. That's what it is. Hey, where are the men like that? Where are the men that have that kind of gumption? God bless Bevelin. God bless her, man. God help us. God help us. Hey, listen, we're excited. We've got Holly Baglio coming up here. And most of you, if you didn't watch yesterday's show, you missed out on it. I apologize. But we did a real briefing yesterday on – trying to get my camera to work here. I'm sorry. On satanic ritual abuse, MK Ultra, because we were going to bring on today Holly Baglio, who is a survivor. Actually, probably more SRA, satanic ritually abused. Probably more of that than MK Ultra. But to try to connect and help everyone to understand the whole idea of child sacrifice and child trafficking and child rescue, and that the demonic side is real, darkness is real. And so I want you to sit back. If you could right now, maybe I'll try to share it with somebody else. If you're watching it on Facebook, share it. They'll probably ban it. But I came across Holly about 4 years ago, I think. I don't know, Holly, how long it's been. I met Holly, and she was if I can say it, she was very, very, very timid soul. And as I began to hear her story and hear what's happened, I began to understand why she was such a timid soul. The fact that she had it survived. By the way, I know I could right now, I could call 10 right now, 10 people I know who are SRAs, satanic ritually abuse survivors. This is real, folks. And it involves child, what do they call that? Child protective services. It goes to the elite of the world. This is the real deal. And so Holly came, you know, I've communicated with her. Holly's in the queue almost every day watching what's going on. And it's been a long, hard journey. See, let me try to explain this to you best I can, and then I'll let Holly maybe explain it for us better. What happens with satanic ritually abused, or MK Ultras also, they're very similar in some ways, is they, through torture and abuse, they fracture a person's personality and create in a person really multiple personalities inside of a person through torture, terror, a lot of different ways that they do it. Most of them don't survive, friends. Most of these children who are caught in satanic ritually abused, most of them don't survive. They never get out of it. Holly was able to get out of it. And much of the healing that's taking place in Holly's life now, every day, maybe not every day, but she's continually awakening or being awakened to a new set of memories that she had forgotten. Different things may happen that would trigger something, and maybe an alternate personality would come out. Holly, I hope I'm doing this justice. I'm just trying to lay the groundwork for people that they understand that when you come out of this, you don't just all of a sudden wake up and eat strawberries and everything's good. That's not what happens. It's a long, long healing process because your personality has been fractured, if you can imagine that, fractured. And certain behaviors, certain words, certain circumstances trigger different reactions to the person who's been sexually, satanically, ritually abused. And for to be a survivor is a long, long, hard process coming out of it. That's Holly Baglio. And she told us last Saturday night, 37 years. And I could hear the gasp in the room when Holly stood up and said it, that she'd been fighting it 37 years. So Holly, just kind of come on in here, sweetheart. And I'm going to try to, we'll try to walk through this thing together. What the heck, Holly? What's this all about? Come on in, sweetie.
Good morning, Coach. It's great to see you and everyone. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Boy, I don't know really where to begin, but for me, I was born into these projects. So they released me from these projects.
What do you mean, Holly? What do you mean born into these projects?
Well, my earliest memory goes back to, I believe, about 3 years old of being in a deep underground military base with the other kids being locked in cages and trafficked. The first memory, I believe, was in San Antonio, Texas, and it was like a warehouse. If you go into Walmart, the big, huge Walmarts that we have, and you were to replace the aisles with rows of cages stacked two up three high and just rows of cages, and you put 5 or 10 kids in those cages, that's what it looked like to me where I was with these other children. And yes, most of the children don't survive at all.
How old were you at this time, Holly?
That is 3 years old. However, I've done research and studies, and I'm still going through that as well as still deprogramming. But I looked up Fitz Springmeier and Cisco Wheeler, and because one of my programmers was Joseph Mengele, I understand I have 169 altars. But I've met an altar that was just a newborn baby. So it was me fractured at a period of time where I must have been 7, 8 months old.
So Holly, let me stop a second because you said something about Joseph Mengele. Right, folks, you know that name? That was Hitler's right-hand man. He was one of the guys who was assigned the task of doing this. Holly was, she was treated, is that the right word? She was programmed by Joseph Mengele himself. And so, I'm sorry, Holly, to walk all over you. So every day or every week or every month, you are discovering new things, right? I mean, You wake up, something will trigger something, and all of a sudden you have a flashback memory. And you said you were fractured into how many parts, Holly?
169.
Now, these would be like individual personalities, Holly, or individual little compartments that you would find yourself trapped in. There would be Holly the little 7-year-old and Holly the 10-year-old and Holly the – or maybe not even Holly, maybe another name. But you would get these alter egos that they would take you and they would – torture you and scare you till you would absolutely try to retreat and hide from it, and it would create another alt. Am I saying that right, Holly?
Yes, you are. Perfectly said, Coach. You're definitely doing it justice. Thank you so much.
Okay, so go ahead. Just I'll shut up.
Well, Joseph Mengele would electrocute us. There, I wrote my autobiography, and I entitled it Kids in a Cage. And when you look at the cover, I drew the cover for my book, but it was of a memory that I had. And I believe it was David John Merrill, the other boy that was in the cage next to mine, and myself, Joseph Mengele, had a room lined with cages, and there were kids in each cage, and he would electrocute us. And as soon as he would stop electrocuting us, and as soon as we try to catch a breath, it would seem like he'd start electrocuting us again. And through hours of, it seemed like hours of this, he would go and take a child out of the cage and bring it to the center of the room and mutilate it. And my understanding is that Joseph Mangley was a sorcerer and ascended master. So he was into necromancy magic and black magic. And what he would do is drown us children or electrocute us to death. And supposedly he would leave us dead for 4 minutes. So at that point, part of your soul is stepping out of your body. And it feels like you're getting trapped in a sort of hell because you're being ripped and shredded apart. And when then he brings you back to life, he resuscitates you. And that's extremely painful in your body to go through. And he would do that to us children over and over. But I do remember he himself would also brutally rape the children and make us watch. He would have some of the children egg him on to continue to rape the other child. So like coach said, most of the children did not make it out alive.
Let me stop you right there, Holly. How did you end up in this situation? Did they snatch you off the street? And Holly, how long ago, how old are you right now, Holly?
I'm 46. I just turned 46.
So you said this went on for 37 years. This, well, the torture and everything didn't go on for 37 years, but you dealt with it, right? In this young period of time. How'd they get you, Holly? How'd you get involved with it? How did you end up in a cage? Did you not have a mom and a dad and people that cared about you?
Well, my biological mother kept me from my father. So I met him when I turned 18 and sought him out. But my mother pretty much dropped me on my grandparents and they raised me. And my grandfather was in the Navy in World War II on a minesweeper ship. So my grandparents raised me. But they would, the programmers or block ops, they would just come into my house, get me and take me out, and then they'd bring me back.
With your grandparents' approval, Holly?
No, they were sleeping. There was one time when I was in Canada when they brought me back to the hotel room. They brought me back to my grandparents. And to me, I looked at my grandparents and it looked to me like my grandparents had been hypnotized or like in a trance because they were just kind of sitting there zombified. They brought me back. I laid down, went to sleep. My grandparents laid down. They left, locked the hotel room door behind them, and that was it. So my grandparents did not approve of this. My grandparents, when I was a little girl, made sure that I knew about God and that Jesus loved me. And they gave me a really, really wonderful life. So, but they, if they knew this, they would have done everything to stop it. However, I think my grandfather himself was an unknowing, unwilling subject in these projects because he'd come home and tell Graham how the Navy would give him and the other soldiers LSD and marijuana just to see what it would do. So I believe it started with him. And what sounded like a funny story actually turns into these big MKUltra projects, but they're all within this, there's all satanic rituals. They're summoning down these dark powers and principalities. So,
Holly, what was the purpose? First of all, Holly, you know, people listening to you right now think you're crazy.
Oh, yeah, I get that all the time. I don't pay attention to that. I focus on Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Okay. So just okay. So, you know, people say this guy, he's nuts, right? And this didn't happen, right?
Yeah, right? I've been at this 5 years. I've dealt with it. I just move on. They'll wake up sooner or later in God's timing.
Okay. So Holly, what are they? What is their purpose of doing this to these young children?
This is where I'm going to sound crazy. For me, I was ultimately, what they were doing ultimately was creating the troops for the Antichrist.
Mm.
But as far as the other children, okay, like with the projects I was in, they would take these children and basically turn them into journalists or politicians or musicians. And as we got older, when the programming and the tortures were done, they would farm us out to Hollywood, Washington, D.C., the music industry, as journalists, drug runners. So I was farmed out, but farmed back into the military. I stayed being used in the Super Soldier Project, so to speak.
But a lot of it, Holly, was just, you know, we hear about adrenochrome and drinking of adrenochrome. Was a lot of that just, was a lot of it just child sacrifice going on, Holly?
No, they were eating the children too. That's a big part of it. Forgive me. I remember witnessing the children being sacrificed.
That's all right, sweetheart.
I draw blanks. I don't have all my memories, and that might be Abba just slowing things down because, my understanding is yes, we were forced to partake in drinking the blood, and we children were forced to also eat the remains of the child that was sacrificed. So we were forced. Me and the other children didn't want to be there. We didn't want to do that. But we were forced to partake in it. Even something such as my virginity, I lost that in these projects and around these people. So
Holly, when you went home, they would take you and they'd keep you while you'd be in the cage. When you go home, would you talk to grandma and grandpa about it? Would you tell them what had happened to you? What would you do?
No, I wanted to. I remember sitting there on a few occasions and just feeling that little voice inside screaming, tell them about the cage. Tell them what Joe the mechanic did to you. Just, they'll believe you, Holly. Just tell them. And you know what? I couldn't bring myself to do it. And I was just so happy to be home sitting at the table with them eating dinner that I just, no. When I was 18, I turned to Jesus and got saved. And I was going to a Baptist church with my high school friends. And I had told them about the nightmares that I was getting about the children in a cage and how my dreams would come true. And they basically just said, oh, yeah, kids in a cage being electrocuted, those are growing pains. Go to a doctor, take a pill. Oh, you have dreams that coincide with revelation of the Holy Bible. Oh, Holly, that's devil divination. Go repent. So it was always me that was the problem. They were ill-equipped, unprepared, and definitely undereducated.
Well, Holly, nobody wants to believe this, right? It's not even feasible, right? That human beings, adults, would do this to little children. I mean, come on, Holly, right? But the depth of darkness is so deep that we can't even understand it.
Yes, it's all true. And when I go before Heavenly Abba, everything I'm saying to you now, I'm going to go before Him and say, can you give me further understanding? Because I think I'm still a little bit confused from this whole thing, Heavenly Abba, but I'm being honest, Coach. I'm not lying to you.
I know. So let's
wouldn't lie about a thing like this.
Let's double back, Holly. So at what age did you get out of it? And then once you got out of it, did you realize what had been done to you? With all the struggles that you had in your life, trying to figure out why relationships didn't work out, why you just weren't like ever. Did you ever put two and two together and say, you know what? Well, this happened because I was being programmed. How did that whole awakening, how'd that whole thing happen, Holly?
I was about 40 years old when those two worlds collided. So they released me when I was 37 years old. They let me go, so to speak. And it took me a few years and of realizing, wow, you know, I'm being spiritually attacked. I'm seeing angels and demons and this is all real. And once I online started bumping into super soldiers and people coming forward with their testimony about being a super soldier, I was floored because the memories that I had in my head, there's another person on the other side of the world talking about the same exact memory. And I'm starting to recognize that person. And at that point, I fell to pieces. I lost my ability to speak for 9 months. And ever since about 2014, I've been just trying to educate myself about SRA and MKUltra, and also reach out to these other survivors and victims of it, because some of these kids I was trafficked with, and some of us have been able to reunite with one another, and that's really helped the healing process for the both of us to know that we came out on the other side of this and we're okay. We made it.
Made it on the other side. So Holly, what is it? I heard you mention it, and I've heard Russ Dizdar talk about it a number of times. What is a, as you said, a super soldier? What does that mean, Holly?
Well, that means that I've been mind controlled. I'm programmed. I'm chipped, and I've been surgically enhanced.
Let me stop this now. Not just you, but maybe thousands, if not millions, of SRA children have been chipped, programmed. Say that again, Holly.
Chipped, programmed, and surgically enhanced. And I was trafficked with a group of kids. So we were also programmed together to make a formidable team of soldiers.
So super soldiers to do what, Holly?
Serve the Antichrist, who is about to be revealed soon. I don't know when, but soon. I believe in my lifetime.
So there's a thing called triggering. Now, we hear that when we hear people talking about those cupcakes, those cupcakes, they're getting triggered words, all that stuff. But yet we see, like, the guy who went into the Colorado movie theater and shot people. And then after he shot him, he just kind of sat down and was in a trance. And right. And we see, they say maybe even Mark David Chapman, the guy who shot John Lennon. After Mark David Chapman went and shot John Lennon, he sat down. When they came to arrest him, he was sitting down beside John Lennon, reading from The Catcher in the Rye. Is it possible, Holly, that these kind of super soldiers then are programmed to be triggered to action when they hear a command of some type that we don't understand? Would that be a clear thing? We
good? Absolutely, absolutely. All those situations sound like an MKUltra, that mind control, like a Manchurian candidate. So we were supposed to be used for that, but we're also implemented with suicide programming too, so people can remote access us to shut us down, or if we're caught, we can also just be suicided.
So you've been chipped.
Yes, I have chips. I remember getting, I know I have a chip in the front of my head here, but I do remember getting one in the back of my skull, up under behind my ear, but inside my skull.
When did this stop, Holly? This programming, when did they release? You said at 40, age 40? No, certainly you realized it at age 40. Holly, is it possible right now that there are people listening to this show who this may have happened to, and they're not aware of it yet?
Absolutely. That's why I'm talking about it, because they need a chance to wake up. And if something about my testimony resonates with them, or just kind of gives them a twinge, and they feel the Holy Spirit kind of tapping their shoulder saying, you know, something's not right here. You know, if something about my testimony strikes someone, then maybe they can search their soul and find out, because if they've had any type of MKUltra, or they've been subject to satanic ritual abuse like I have, the only way out is through Yeshua HaMashiach, and you need to willfully, willingly, and knowingly go to him, but also to take this to him so that he can set you free and deliver you, not only from the dark powers and principalities that you've been subjected to because of the satanic rituals, but also what you've been opened up to because of all the traumas and tortures you've gone through. You're going to need Yeshua in a way like you've never needed him before. When he says he is the only life, the only light, the only way, yes, he is the only way out of MKUltra, and he is the only way out of satanic abuse.
Folks, I'm going to let you get in here in a second. Holly, I got two emails yesterday after I did this show and talked about you coming in. I got two emails from two women. Both of them said, I think this happened to me. Holly, how would they know? What woke you up? Explain that whole process, Holly. How did you go? How did your awakening begin?
I think I had it easy. First, I was turning to Jesus because I was trying to come off of prescription pain pills and fire my doctors and just live a better way. God came to me and said, Holly, we need to talk about something. Now, at that point, I'm falling under spiritual attack, and I'm starting to see things with my eyes and come to terms with the fact that I might have the gift of sight here. But then the reoccurring dreams came back of the kids in the cage of being electrocuted. I had another reoccurring dream of when I'm a little kid, and it looked like we were dressed up in, it looked like we were dressed up in like KKK white robes going into a cave. And it had to do with sacrifice. And just certain reoccurring dreams came back. The thing that helped me was listening to other people's testimonies, because they would walk through their experience or satanic ritual or whatever their experience, they were walking through it, explaining it moment by moment what happened to them, and it would match something that I experienced. And that's when I just brought myself to God and said, you know, God, I really think that I'm an MK Ultra survivor and an SRA survivor, and I think I'm DID. I met Russ Dizdar, and that was the thing too. In April 2015, I kept asking God to lead me to people. And I said to Heavenly Abba, I think I need an exorcist or whatever they're called. Sure enough, he led me to Russ Dizdar. But when Russ Dizdar said that word, super soldier, and then he said DID, dissociative identity disorder, and he started explaining it, I was like, I need to meet this man because he's hitting the nail on the head. There's something that's just striking in my soul, and I'm not going to ignore it. Maybe this is, see, I don't believe in coincidences. There are no coincidences. So when something happened, it's supposed to happen, and you need to look at it. Don't brush it off. If there's something ringing in your soul and you have a sense of urgency or something with my testimony stands out, don't brush it off. Bring it before Abba and really look at it, because now is the time to get Yeshua.
Okay, Holly, real quickly, and then I'm going to open it up here. What's DID, dissociative identity disorder? Explain that for us, please.
That's like you were explaining the alters when you're triggered and another personality comes forward.
They do that on purpose, don't they, Holly? And they only and because they're able to control you if they do that, but they torture you to the point where you withdraw within yourself, and this another identity pops out. Would that be safe to say?
Yes, but I. Praise be to Heavenly Abba for Yeshua HaMashiach. I am co-conscious. Thus far, I'm co-conscious. I don't usually lose periods of time. There is one altar I have that under duress. She'll come forward, but more as a protective mechanism. But I don't lose time. I am co-conscious, which that helps the situation.
In other words, you're in control of these.
It's a mutual control.
It's not like the movie Sybil with all of a sudden a new Holly pops up, right?
You don't deal with that. I'll be honest with you. I saw that movie when I was about 18, 19 years old, and I tried to put myself in her shoes. Meanwhile, I'm active. You know, I'm coming towards the end of my training and programming. I was about 18 years old, and that's when they start farming you out to go do their bidding in the world. But watching that movie didn't wake me up. But honestly, I don't connect with Sybil. I don't connect with that movie one bit. I don't know why.
I just use that illustration because
Some people are like that, where they're not co-conscious and another person comes in and they have no memory of what's going on. That's what's called missing time.
Okay, Holly, so when that other identity tries to come out, are you aware of that? Does that other identity still try to come out, Holly, but you're in control of it?
Yeah.
So you recognize when this alternative identity tries to come out, you're co-conscious. You say, shut up, man. I got this, right?
Right. And if there's a very new altar, like a very new altar that comes forward, Abba gave me safety mechanisms. I have my covenant ring. So they look down and they see the ring and think, Who am I married to? And then, oh, Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay. And now this altar start, the new altar rule. I surrender to Yeshua HaMashiach. I turn myself over to him. This is what happened to me. And a lot of times I just rejoin and that broken piece comes back and I'm whole again. There's some altars that are feisty and they don't want to reintegrate, but we'll get to it.
169, did you say? How many alternates?
169.
Wow. Okay, let me open it up. Somebody's certainly got a question for Holly. You know, this is so hard to understand, isn't it? Not only that, this is so hard to believe. This is so hard to believe that they could do this to little children. But Holly, they're child trafficking. They're still doing it, aren't they?
Oh, it kills me. If I could encourage everybody to stop paying their taxes, I would, because it's our very tax dollars that are still going to these projects. I was in Project Ibis, and that is still ongoing. I'm 46 years old, and there's kids still being put in Project Ibis. Project Ibis is basically tampering with fallen angels and speaking with fallen angels. We should not be doing that. As God clearly says in the Bible, only talk to him, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That's it.
Amen. Okay. Somebody come on in.
Is that where the remote viewing comes in, Holly?
Well, I was a part of Project Looking Glass, and I remember doing stuff like that in the different projects: remote viewing, astral traveling, astral projecting, sending telepathic messages, but also being able to operate avatars. I come from Project Omega, so I can leave my body and work an avatar if I have to.
Explain that, Paul. Holly, can you explain that? What that means, what that's like? Astral projecting or being an avatar, leaving your body. Can you explain that to those of us who haven't done that?
First and foremost, we're not supposed to do it. You don't do anything outside of heavenly Abba, period. So these things are not for God's anointed children to be doing. Okay.
Of course.
But I guess it takes two demons or two powers or principalities to bring you out of your body. But for me and the dumbs, I had a different experience with it. I was given like a target, or I was given something, and I could just focus on that and bring myself to it.
You would literally go from one physical place to another, Holly. Is that right?
Yes. And I have to be careful not to do that now, because some of these things have still lingered on with me. So I don't tamper with this stuff. But go on, Coach.
But it is real. It is real.
Yes, it is. Right? Yes.
All right. Somebody else.
Well, Coach, you know, what's amazing is that the mind, the capabilities of the mind is, we're okay that these things could be imagined and put in movie form in Hollywood, but yet the church would refuse that these things can and actually do take place. We're ignorant. We become ignorant of these things. We're like the little kid who hides underneath the blanket and says, "You can't see me because I'm underneath the blanket." This is what the church has become.
Good illustration, Dale. And Holly, is it possible that there have been, you call them super soldiers, programs, whatever. Have some of these people been programmed to go in and disrupt churches, Holly?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Christians are their number one enemy. Absolutely. It all has to do with Jesus. Mm-hmm. They sell you a fake Jesus in the deep underground military bases. They're trying to steal you from the real one, because once you understand his power and authority, they're scared of that and they hate him. So all the more reason to love him.
So some of these SRAs, hang on a second, Dale. Some of these SRAs then have infiltrated other churches. Do they know they're SRAs, Holly?
Some of them do not know that whatsoever. And I always ask Abba to give me an eye for these people, so maybe I can say something to purposefully trigger them awake, to say, you may have been exposed to something. How about we start praying to Jesus over this? And what do you think? And tell me about your past. But yes, they're purposefully sent to disrupt and send discord and strife. And they'll show up at a conference and you'll feel an uncomfortableness. Or, you know, these people will send out literally powers and principalities to fly over a conference to spy on you, to see what you're saying, to know who's there. And they rely on these dark powers and principalities. They fiercely believe in that. So,
because it's real. Dale, come on in.
It goes back to the same analogy, Coach. There's a book. I don't know who wrote it. It was out there. It was called Angels on Assignment. Here's the church. We're praying for God to send angels, right? We're praying these specific things, yet we don't think that the enemy can't do that. How ridiculous is that?
Oh, and they do. They do. I've seen them try to disrupt conferences before.
Churches, church meetings, everywhere, right? Everywhere.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
I've got a quick question, and I'm not sure if I can say right, but when we use the word they, Holly, they, what does that they look like? Are they, is there one big they? Is there separate theys that are meeting and conducting this and bringing kids into it? What does the they look like?
Good question.
Oh, boy, that would be a better question for me to answer in private. It's the programmer. I'm not sure I understand it. They, like the programmers, military.
The question, Holly, I think Roger's asking is, who's behind all this?
Oh, Rothschilds. I mean, if you want names, okay, I can. There's certain names I can give you. Rothschilds is one. I don't want to be in private. I can be more specific, but I'll start with the Rothschilds. They're behind it, number one. All the Illuminati bloodlines, Rockefellers. I saw them in the gums.
So let me ask you this, Holly. So let's say there's somebody above you, supposedly controlling you or these super soldiers. I think Roger's asking, who are they? Who would trigger you, Holly?
My programmers would trigger me to bring me back full active. For hypothetical, for instance, for martial law, when, say, if there's a forced vaccine, who are you going to call? You're going to trigger people that are going that will have no remorse. You can shut down their central nervous system. You can remote access them and their implants. You can bring them active and they can go suit up and march down any street and force vaccines. And if you say no, they'll just shoot you dead in the tracks and keep going. And that's who would access someone like me.
Are those people in control of governmental powers?
Absolutely. They're above the government. Like the government is foot soldiers to them. If that makes sense. Like. Yeah. The government is like their personal police department. How about that?
So it's possible that some of our elected officials are programmed SRAs. Now, Holly, would they know that?
Yeah. George Bush Sr. knew he's a programmer to us super soldiers in the dumps. Barry Obama is an active super soldier with clones. He knows it. I've met Hillary's victims who are now turned survivors. So it's real. She knows all about this. And I don't mean to be rude, but I do believe that our current president, Mr. Donald J. Trump, is aware of MKUltra. I think he knows. I don't know if he's a part of it, but I can definitely speak to the other politicians.
Area code 315.
Yes, this is Gary up in New York, Holly. Could you describe what, I've heard the term, what soul cooking is, what is it, and what's the purpose of it?
Spirit cooking, soul cooking, they talked about pizza. First of all, you think Pizzagate's real, Holly?
I'm a survivor of Pizzagate. It's absolutely real. It was. They started using me for Pizzagate when Ronald Reagan was president. I think they sent us kids over to Russia for different politicians.
So your memory's fractured, though, right, Holly? So these things are happening to you, and your memory's fractured. You don't really remember. But then as you begin to awaken, some of these memories begin to come back. Is that right? Fair to say?
Absolutely. I've remembered quite a bit, but there's still, I mean, I have 37 years. That's a lot of memory.
Hey, Holly, look at me, Holly. you understand how easy it is for us to say, that girl's nuts. That didn't happen. That girl's nuts. You understand that, don't you, Holly?
Yes, I do.
And so you fight that every day. Is this ongoing, Holly? Not you. The SRA, the Super Soldier, the MK Ultra, is it ongoing? Is it true, Holly? Are they stealing little children? We're finding out. I just saw this weekend, again, they've rescued like 56 children down in Georgia. They rescued 75 children out in Chicago. This is still going on, the stealing of children for programming or ritual abuse. Why do they want these children, Holly?
For ritual abuse and, like you said, for adrenochrome. These people are sick and twisted. They're pedophiles. They're pedivores. They're not like you and I. They're not like us at all. So their commodity is children. What concerns me is, like, over the border, what's happening to all of those kids that are coming over the border being brought by coyotes?
Mm. Wow.
There's a big problem right there with children being trafficked.
Glenn, come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, Holly, you mentioned deep underground military bases. Is the program a black under the auspices of a black ops military?
Yes, black ops.
Okay.
So in other words, it's through the CIA or something like that, then, Holly. Is that right?
Yes. Like, people I know have a perspective of black ops, you know, special forces, Navy, SEAL, Army. Okay, there's that. But the black operations I was exposed to was another facet or another faction of black ops. Mm. So I was used in similar but very different capacities. I had spiritual gifts, so they turned me into a soldier. And I was used for very...
Holly. Come on in, Tim.
Holly?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead, Tim.
Okay. Go ahead. Well, thank you very much. I have a question. You used the word released. You were released from something earlier. You said that. What's that mean?
Joseph Mengele let me go.
Okay, so...
He let me from the projects. He let me go.
And so my thoughts are... then if they've done all that terrific work with you and everybody, and it's been working and doing the work they need to do, how can they just simply release? Or why do they release?
Good question, Tim.
I think it was simply for them to flex their muscles and say, ha, look at what we created, all thanks to your tax dollar, and look at what we've been doing. But also... somebody has to tell you about these projects too.
But Tim's that, Holly. Tim's asking, why didn't they kill you?
Joseph Mengele told me if I ever go back, they will kill me. But I don't plan on going back because I love Yeshua HaMashiach. So I'm sold out on Heavenly Abba. But I think because honestly, I'm not going after the programmers to bring justice to them. That's like me just bashing my head into a brick wall for the rest of my life. I want to go after their victims and help their victims overcome these traumas to turn into survivors.
Yeah.
I just want to fly under the radar. There were some people that really didn't fly under the radar and they were terminated. I'm trying to spend my last days with Yeshua and I'm trying to help the other survivors overcome these same things. I have a different direction, and maybe that's why so far I've been blessed to
Mr.
be able
Roger, to. Roger, hey. Roger, then Larry. Go ahead, Roger.
Real quick, Holly, for lack of a better word, you seem like a whistleblower. I don't have a better terminology, but you're out, you're sharing, you're talking. Are there others that are out talking and sharing? Because just a layman like me, I don't hear the depth of the conversation that you're sharing. I hear the trafficking kids that are being found, you know, the Catholic Church is raping and pillaging the boys, but I don't hear others. Are there others that are starting to come out like you are and being much more specific?
Yeah, there are a lot of people coming out but you have to look for them. And I'd have to say, and with all due respect to people, a lot of them that are vocal about this, they haven't exactly turned to Yeshua. So you're going to get a lot of new age talk and stuff like that in it. And I mean, I stop listening at their testimonies. There are people that come forward to give their testimonies and they've turned to Yeshua, and that's the only place you're ever going to find them is in the Holy Bible, reading his word. I look for those people. It's hard to find them, but they are on YouTube. You just got to look really, really, really hard.
Come on, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned a while ago the funding and financing of it. I have often wondered what happened to the billions and billions, perhaps trillions of dollars that's confiscated with illegal drug money going across the border that's not on the books. Is that money put into that black ops operation, or do you know?
I think so. I'm not quite sure. There's a woman named Terry Joyce, a radio show host in California. She knows all of that stuff, but she always said they were black funded, black or clandestine black operation projects going on that the government just does not tell us people.
Yeah, we're finding out more and more about that, Holly. I just got an email question, Holly.
Sure.
What do Satanists believe is going to happen to them when they die?
That they're going to live forever and reign with Satan, and he's going to treat them well, and they're going to be like kings and queens reigning. They think it's going to be a party.
They think they're going to win, and they're going to be the guys in charge, huh?
They seriously think they are going to win. Seriously.
Come on in, Trent.
How can we stop any of this or rescue anyone that is currently in this?
Well, that's a great question, Holly. What do we do? Someone right now who's watching the show, and all of a sudden they're awakening. Say, whoa. What do you suggest they do, Holly?
Well, okay, I follow ministries. Since my awakening, I spent 4, 6, 8 hours a day with my ministries. Coach knows. This is how we met. So I stay around people that are well bonded and formed in Yeshua. I pray to Heavenly Abba to open up opportunities to bring victims to me or bring me to them so we can talk. I have, well, it's called our MKUltra group. It's Children in a Cage, but it's our group. So there's a bunch of us mods that run it jointly together, and we vet people. You have to be a real serious victim or somebody that can actually help a victim, and we bring them into the group. But I'd say just be vocal and in chat room, say if there's any SRA or DID.
So Holly, if they want, is it okay if I connect them with you? I hear from people, I can
absolutely
connect them.
Please do. I try to have a community, but also for you guys, if you want to open up and even in my chat room, say I'm open for conversations, prayer and private videos with a victim. I welcome you. I'll donate my time to pray. I'll give an ear. That helps a lot.
Okay, Holly, got a message. Holly, if you're still chipped, can they control you?
No, because Yeshua HaMashiach stands between me and my enemy. They have to go through him to access my implants. He's not going to tell them yes. I feel the implants buzzing. I can tell when they're trying to be accessed, like they're being pinged. But no, they cannot penetrate the blood of the Lamb. Absolutely not.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say, what's your website, Holly?
Childreninacage.com.
What is it?
Actually, it's a lot easier than that. It's just my name, hollybaglio.com. My MKUltra group on Facebook is Children in a Cage. But my website for me is hollybaglio.com.
HollyBaglio.com. Hey, folks, listen, we're out of time. This is edgy, isn't it? This is edgy. This is hard for us to conceive of and hard for us to believe. But as I said the other day, if we believe in the infinite depth of the goodness of God, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. We can't even begin to conceive of how deep the darkness is as well. And until we wake up and understand that, We were just playing tiddlywinks in this whole battle over the souls of men that we are actively engaged in. And do your own research. I had a couple more videos this morning I could have played. The MK Ultra is real, folks. This isn't fake. SRA isn't fake, folks. You can find just Google it. You can find all you want to on it. And Holly is one who's come out of it, 37 years in it. There are many, many. You may find yourself crossing paths with others who have been programmed and aren't even. Do you call it being awake, Holly? They're not awake to it yet. They don't really understand what happened to them, but it did. They've been released back in society and they don't fit in and they can't keep relationships and they can't keep marriages and they can't figure out why, what's going on. And it's because they've been
programmed.
Yep. They've been ripped. They've been torn apart. Yeah. Man, Holly, we'll have you back, Holly. Stay right here with us, all right? God bless you all, folks. Wow, 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 wow. Even so, come Lord Jesus. We'll see you tomorrow.